Thankful. It is Thanksgiving week, and here at the Grace Hour Show, we're talking about things that we give thanks for. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me in the studio here is Paul Androlonis, pastor, and my son, and I should say, happy birthday. You had a birthday over the weekend.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Thank you.
There's a crowd of birthdays in November. And yeah, your daughter, our granddaughter, is also having a birthday first day of December. Yeah. So that's, you know, just a way to help you draw you into our personal discussion here. But we're talking about riches, things that we are thankful for. And we're talking about the riches of the Word of God and what it does for us. And this is a week when we'll have a family feast, maybe a couple. I mean, here at our church, there was a Sunday feast, potluck every year, 700 people ate. It's great. And Thursday, in a couple of days, we'll also celebrate Thanksgiving. We'll gather in homes and eat, and it's awesome. But the Word of God is really, if Job is to be believed, and he is, it's better than our necessary food. And so we're going to talk about that today. And your thoughts to start off, Paul, about feeding on the Word.
Yeah, I the richness, the things that we're thankful for, I couldn't help but think about Psalm 119, which just talks about all the different, it just over and over again talks about being grateful for the Word of God, letting the Word, hiding the Word of God in your heart, the precepts, the commandments, the statutes, all the different terminology used for the Bible, used for the teachings of the Bible. And it was, you know, an encouragement to me and something that I think can be an encouragement to us always to think about what are the things that are important? What is the Word of God in my life? How do I recognize? And I think in this, you know, thankfulness or gratitude season, it causes us or forces us to look at those things that have been consistent maybe, or things that have been a part of our life over the last year, you know, having this opportunity to be together and think about things that I'm grateful for. And typically, you know, having family, if you have family, having shelter, having the blessings, having provision, having a job, having a home, having different things, we get this perspective, I think, that at this time or at this season that we are reminded and are remembering these different things so that we can appreciate them and then also care for them and preserve them and keep them over the next year so they can be things that we're continually grateful for. And I think the Word of God, the Bible, being something that we can also look at and be reminded of its consistency, of its purpose, of its involvement in our life, and how it is something that is really beneficial and rich that we can take for granted and be familiar with. But then we were reminded that this is what God has said, and it reminds us of his favor towards us, his grace, his love, his mercy, and our place and our value in this grand scheme of this life that we're living. So Psalm 119, I was reading it this morning, and there's just so many different moments and different stanzas or different lines in them that in Psalm 119 that are just a reminder of, you know, letting the Word dwell richly in us, letting the Word be a lamp, letting the Word give us confidence in who God is, and especially in our, you know, maybe where there's uncertainty or worry and anxiety and fear, reading over and over again the Word, his statutes, his testimonies, all these different ways to talk about the Word of God. It's really encouraging.
Yeah, it's a book. Well, it's a chapter, longest chapter, 176 verses. And I think it tells us something about structure, order, because it is an acrostic, what they call an acrostic psalm, which means if you were to read this this chapter in the Hebrew, would go along the Hebrew alphabet. And this isn't a surprise because some of the older rabbis, some of the writers of the Talmud, they're pretty much in agreement that they think this particular set of stanzas was crafted by Ezra, the scribe. So he's a man who wrote the Bible, copied the Bible, so he knew the letters, and then he assigned these sentences that went with the letters, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, all the way through. And so I think the way that he did this, if you notice in that part of our Bibles, we have Psalm 119, and so there's 22 stanzas there. And then we have right after it, we have what's known as the song of the songs of ascent or the songs of degrees. And there's 15 of those. Now we know that those songs, those 15 were songs that people who were making their journey to Jerusalem for these big feasts. So they would sing those songs. And Ezra took 4 months to come from Persia, where he was a, you know, some sort of government official. Nehemiah also. These men were serving in the captive, the governments that had taken captive of the people of Israel, and now they're marching back to help build the temple. So he's trying to help people focus on the Word of God, which he's seeing as the important element for his people. And this, you know, this is really something that's true throughout the scriptures, is that these people of Israel were people of the communication of God. They got the communication from God. They got direct communication from God through Moses, and they got words and testimonies and statutes and commandments, all these variety of things. And so it's just like, if we're going to look at it as food for thought, food for faith, then we know that there's a variety of kinds of food we need for physical nutrition. And then when we're talking about this kind of feeding, this kind of filling for ourselves, it's important. Sunday night, we heard Pastor Justin Schaller talk about the house, the house that has the rooms that you filled. I think that's Proverbs 24. You know, you build a structure and you fill the rooms. But our bodies were made to be nourished in certain ways by a variety of things, right?
Yeah, I think that what you were just saying about the acrostic and the structure and the formatting and that's one area of the richness of the word that I think is never, it's like unending, the well of that, just like the formatting and the arrangement and the terminology and things that in our English Bibles, we don't necessarily see all the,
it's not as visible
artistry,
for us.
All the artistry that is in, the Hebrew Bible specifically, and just the way that they wrote those scriptures in order to remember them, in order to have the focus, you know, recognize the focus. But in Psalm 119, one of the stanzas that was like really stood out to me is Lamed, and starting in verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances for all your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad." And just thinking of, you know, there's different layers to that, you know, that as I was reading, his word is settled, his faithfulness endures. I'm living my life with that expectation with that reference point of the word of God, understanding there's going to be difficulty, understanding there's going to be hardship, not forgetting his precepts because they are a source of life for us. We know in Matthew 4 that we are feasting on the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's in Leviticus as well. And just seeing the word of God, and it's something that we are delighting in, something that we are enjoying. And that's just like food. There is the nourishment, as you were talking, our bodies needing nourishment, needing calories, needing these things that make it possible for us to live. But then there's also the enjoyment that comes with that. And my reference, the way that I come to the word of God, the way that I live and experience the word of God, is it only for nourishment or is it for enjoyment as well? Is it only for me to get my calories in? Yeah. Is it only for me to do my daily Bible reading and then I'm good. I've checked that box so I can go about my day until tomorrow morning when I need to come back and read some more? Or is it something that is beyond that, where I'm getting nourished and then also delighting in what the word of God says and letting it impact my life in another way or in a fuller way? So that's, I think, something that is maybe a good conversation, a good part of this conversation is like, what's my approach? What's my expectation for the word of God being something that I'm feasting on, something that I'm thankful for, something that is like meaningful and important in my life? Is it something that I wish I didn't have to do, or is it something that I can't wait to do?
Yeah, is it like... Well, I guess it's like you said, it's both. It's like, do we just eat it as fiber? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you could take fiber supplements and you don't even taste what's in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But here you went to a stanza, Lamed, which is interesting. It's the tallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It stands above. It's like, it's got like a neck to it that looks out. And I've read a writing from a rabbi about it looks out. This is particularly the last part, 96, where it says, I've seen the end of all perfection, which is what it says in the King James, which we could say that, you know, when we feed on the word, we get a sense of what's coming in the future. If we go from the beginning to the end, if we look at Genesis and we know the beginning, if we look at Revelation, we see where everything is going. We see the end of God's perfection and the start of the new age in the new Jerusalem. So, it's, you know, this is what this rabbi was making a point. He's a Jewish guy, so he's not talking about the New Testament, but we know that this is. But there's a word here, delight, unless your law had been my delights. And that's a big word to talk about enjoying food. Now, Eugene Peterson, who began his life as a student of the scriptures, wanted to be a more of a language specialist, but then he started pastoring in Westchester County, New York, and then he planted a church here, nearby here in Bel Air. And then in Bel Air, while he was teaching an adult Bible college, an adult Sunday school class, he started, doing his message, and it became his message translation. So, but this word delight is really connected to meditation, and it's connected to, there's a Hebrew word for meditate called hagah, hagah. And this word also means, it's a word that's used at the beginning of Psalm 1. It says about meditation, but then it's also used in this interesting passage in Isaiah 31 about a lion who is like really just sucking on a bone that he's already got the meat out of. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like he, you know, the words are the same. And like you said, you made a good point about Hebrew imagery in the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament is like very, very graphic, very, what is it? You know, very tactile. You can, or picturesque, you know, you want to see this. And, seeing a lion like, or a dog, like just keep a bone, even though it's stripped the meat off of it, just like enjoying it and sort of like, instead of growling and roaring, it's sort of like enjoying it. Like, this is like really, I'm still liking this kind of thing. And this is maybe what the picture that God would have us have of the Word of God, like this, you know, the organization of Psalm 119 is like, this is a letter. You're into the structure. Now you get these sentences that are related to the letter. And it's like these connections are going deeper and deeper. And I always come back to the, you know, to the way that Paul wrote when he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's like, by virtue of our position under the finished work of Christ, we have godliness. God has given us his righteousness. We have that by grace. We humbled ourselves to receive mercy. So we have that, but we can be anxious Christians. We can be very panicky believers. We can be people who are not, I can be one of those kinds of people, you know, who just want everything to be in order and just like anxious about things and contentious. Well, I am anxious, but when you have contentment, I think the word there for us in the English to use a word picture is like the content. Like, what do we put in ourselves? Like, what are we feeding our minds? What are we feeding our minds? Is it what the world is saying, or is it like these structures from the Bible that, you know, do we delight in the law of God? Do we delight? Because later on in Psalm 119, it gives us a real key, 165, just before you get to the end of it, it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend you. So, like, if I delight in the law, if I meditate on it, if I'm feeding on the treasure of the Word of God, then I have content that's there for, like, the offense that I'm facing. And I don't, like, maybe take offense. I don't let it get to me.
Yeah, I mean, the peace that comes with loving the law of the Lord, like, the, it says something about that in what I was reading in the stanza that I read, the wicked way for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. Like, thinking about that and thinking also in some of that, you know, the word haggah, the meditation, the like a cow in the, with his six stomachs or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Like chewing and digesting and then regurgitating and chewing and I, you know, all of that, like that being a,
how we get milk is like,
but that being the way that we can look at the word, not as a, something that we read and okay, I understand what it's saying, but it's actually something that's applicable, something that is different each time that the word doesn't change, but my perspective, my perception, my understanding of it and how it relates to me in a personal, in a specific way at a specific time, is really something that I think is the reason why we delight in it, is the reason why we come back to it. It's the reason that we are looking for, you know, for God and our relationship with God being a representation of that, I think. That I am not just, I don't just know about it. I don't just read the words and understand it intellectually, but in a spiritual way, in an emotional way, in a, in the depths of who I am, I'm looking to the Word of God to learn the deep things about myself. And that eternity that is in my heart that is only fulfilled, you know, in Ecclesiastes 3, it says eternity in our hearts. There is an eternity in, inside each of us that is only filled by the eternal God who has given his life, and that gives us our eternal purpose, that if our lives are more than just, you know, our bodies. Our lives are, you know, greater. Our lives are beyond that. And I think I was thinking about the detail and the things that we were talking about with the arrangement and imagery and all different things, like focusing when you see like the specifics, and we can think about, I guess, as we were talking about food, thinking about the particular flavors that can take something from just eating that thing.
Yeah.
From eating, let's just say turkey, because we have Thanksgiving coming up, I could have turkey and I can cook turkey without any type of flavor, without any type of seasoning on it. And I could I could eat it and it could be nourishing and it could taste okay. It could taste good if that's the only turkey that I've ever eaten before. Mm-hmm. Right. Or maybe not. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had turkey without anything on it, but at any rate, I can taste it. But then there can be these little notes or these little flavors that can be added to it that can take that turkey and have it taste not greater, taste better. It enhances the flavor or that food to have it be something different. And I think in each, some families do it some way, some families do it another, some families fry their turkey. Some families, have a particular seasoning and a mix of all these different herbs and all this different stuff. And I think that is something that I want to focus on those flavors enhance the meat of what it is, not necessarily, it doesn't change that meat. Mm-hmm. It is, the nourishment, but there is changing a little aspect of that, adding something that can enhance that flavor of the meat is something that I think looking at scripture with a similar way, I can have it be bland.
Yeah.
I can have it be, I know what this means. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, I'm a sinner, yes. And I'm reading the scripture with that perspective and reading the scripture and I understand what this means completely. And then there's a flavor that's added. There's, a salt or an herb or something just using that same imagery. Like I have something different about the way that I'm approaching the Bible and the way that I'm consuming it. And maybe it's something in my life. Maybe it's something that somebody taught me. Maybe it's a new perspective about something and I'm bringing it and it enhances that thing that, the Bible is, like I said, it's not changing, but it just, my perspective of it can be different based on the flavor, based on a new perspective, idea or a new way that I'm approaching it, saying, okay, maybe I don't know what this tastes like. Because if I've only had bland turkey my entire life and I never tasted good turkey, then I don't know the difference between good turkey and bad turkey, let's just say. But then then I taste turkey and it's like got flavor and then you add all the other elements that go in the meal. Is like, okay, I have the word of God and then I have the sides, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the body of Christ, the prayer life that I have, all these things that complement the word and that the word, word can impact and infiltrate and be a part of all those different aspects and then kind of be that sustenance that it talks about in Psalm 119, that I hide that word in my heart. And I let it be something that I come back to over and over again. And I taste the freshness and the newness and I delight in it and I enjoy it and I let it be impactful in my life.
So, I think you're saying that, the Bible does say taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about creation in your Bible college class and taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm connecting this is like we know that, what God says to us, what God communicates to us is what he's asking us to taste. It's like there's the creation came into being that first part of the Bible by things that he said.
Yeah.
Until he got to forming man, and he formed man, from the dust of the ground. So there's a different dynamic there, but the things that he's saying, tasting, and I think what you're saying, the flavor of things is not, it's not just that we are supposed to eat, just to survive. Some people, I've watched them swallow food, and it's like, it's gone. I mean, I don't even know if you have taste buds for a reason, and they just swallow food. And the next thing you know is I don't even know whether okay, now they're full, but did it really serve the purpose? Uh-huh. And I think of these stories of Jesus at the table with people. And I think these were long sessions with mm-hmm. Jesus talking to people, friends of publicans and sinners. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Passover feast is like it's a overnight kind of thing. It's like yeah. you eat and you don't leave anything until the morning. Mm-hmm. And there's bitter herbs and then there's bread that has a taste that's not, and then there's lamb and all this stuff is going into it. And I think, you're right. And we are, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that we are the salt of the earth. It's mm-hmm. like there's a flavoring element that's supposed to bring out the best of what God did, and we're a part of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so flavoring things is important. Mm-hmm. I'm just laughing about this because, I mean, I spent a lot of my early life just eating like white cheese sandwiches on white bread. It's yeah. like all that I liked. Yeah. And then when I started dating your mother, mm-hmm. I started experiencing flavor. I'd never had tacos. It was just, you know, my grandfather was this way.
Yeah.
It's a family dynamic, but then I started experiencing flavors. It's like, mm-hmm. I had first meal I got when I was dating Jean Marie before we got married was that she made me tacos and I had never had tacos before. If you can imagine that, I'm 20.
Yeah.
I'm 20 years old and I haven't had a taco.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure there's people that are, you know, the same way.
Yeah.
I mean,
bland diets.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like you need to eat and you eat what you like. Uh-huh. And then, but you don't know the beauty or the opportunity, the magnificence of some flavorful thing until someone shows you.
Yeah.
And I think we can have a practical viewpoint of the way that we are looking at the scripture for a long time until we have an experience or till we learn a little bit more and have that taste, mm-hmm. you know, and once you taste something, you can't untaste it.
That's
true. Whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
And I think some people have a bad taste of scripture because of them having a bad experience with somebody showing something or giving something about scripture out of context or trying to explain something in a way that is actually not true to the text or, mm-hmm. you know, you have a perspective growing up of a particular thing and I don't like that because of this or that. Just like it's linked with a memory or linked with an experience. And I think tasting, you know, the scripture, tasting like the beauty of it is something that I think is really, you know, never ending. There's always something new that God is teaching us through his word. And it's, I think, our adjustment in our life can also impact that because, I mean, our tastes change. We're just really leaning into this illustration of food and taste and flavor, but like our tastes can change as human beings. Like yeah. I never liked tomatoes before, but now I like tomatoes. So like that's a simple, you know, way of looking at it. But as we progress and as we grow as human beings, our approach and our coming to the word can be adjusted in that way. Yeah. I like to use the picture of the word of God being like a river. Mm. And we are coming to that river to get hydrated, you know, we're thirsty yeah. and we're coming to the river and the word of God is the river and we're coming to it. We're coming to the same place, but a river is a body of water that is always moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not stagnant. It's never the same water when yeah. you come to the river.
That's right.
It's the same place. It's the same location. But the water is always moving, so it's always different water. Mm. But it has the same source. It has the same place that I'm coming to. And then I am different coming to the river as well. Mm. Sometimes I'm more thirsty or less thirsty. And sometimes maybe the river, in my perspective, is trickling down the hill as opposed to flowing and overflowing. Mm. And I think that's, like I said, a picture that I use for myself I'm coming to the river or the word of God right now. What is my posture towards it? And then also what is it to me? Like, is it sometimes it just feels like you're getting overwhelmed and overtaken by the word of God. And sometimes you're coming in, it just feels like it's a little trickle down the hill. And you're like, okay, I guess this is the nourishment, or this is all that I need in this moment. But if I only think that, if I only come back to that river once, if I only go once and it's a trickle, but then and I never come back, then maybe the next time I come back, it could be like a waterfall or like a fire hose of water coming. That would be something that can be impactful in my life. So I think that like our approach, the word of God, our understanding of it, our approach to it, can really impact whether it's something we're thankful for or something we delight in, or if it's something that we use as a, in a practical way, and then, you know, don't have the full enjoyment and delight in it that we could. Yeah.
I think we're talking about, yeah, can we come to the Word of God and see it get to a place where we don't just like, you know, make it a routine. Yeah. I think it's important to have routines. I think liturgies are important, structure. I think Psalm 119 is a structure because it was important. And I think you can, you play with the various images in there. Mm-hmm. And the structure keeps you sort of tied to that. But I agree with you. Like sometimes you come to the river and the river isn't like flowing very fast. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, it's a slow thing, but you know, you taste that river and you taste the water there and it's still refreshing. Mm-hmm. But you know, and I think these imageries of the river are important because, the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt and they were in Goshen, which was a fertile part of the country, mm-hmm. which would have been probably the Nile River Delta, where the Nile River has its source in Victoria Falls, and mm-hmm. it flows to where it flows up towards the Mediterranean Sea, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting. So these people would have recognized the river in the empire that they were subjected to for those centuries, I think, 400 years. And then there's a river there. Before they cross into the promised land, they cross the river Jordan. It's like both of these images are good, mm-hmm. To look at, like, the river, you know, there is a river that flows from deep within. Jesus mm-hmm. used that picture, mm-hmm. Rivers of living water with the woman at the well. She had come to be refreshed at a well that was, deep, but where did that well get fed from? Probably from a river or a subterranean river that she couldn't see, you know? So where do wells come from? You know, mm-hmm. they come from somewhere. But it is, you know, like if you're refreshed by it, that's one thing, you know, but to enjoy it, to consider, mm-hmm. like to taste and to think about it, that's like a different kind of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like what you were saying about that, them being in Goshen and the Nile River, and you know, especially during that time, there is a civilization being centered around waterways and water sources. And like, just thinking of that and applying it to, you know, that picture to our lives, like there was fruitfulness as a result of the river. Mm-hmm. And, in Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, he talks about, you know, the sun shining on the just and the unjust and the rain falling on the just and the unjust. And we have fruit in our life that are a result mm-hmm. of the river of God's goodness and his graciousness, his mercy towards us. Mm-hmm. Us, we can consume the food without considering that. And I think a lot of people do, mm-hmm. where that's like, oh, well, this is just the world that we are in. Maybe never really having that consideration and just consuming the things that exist and the things that we benefit from. But if I think about, you know, the provision of God, his word, and then the fruit of that being something that I can enjoy and then also appreciate and have gratitude towards the thing that made that possible, the person that made it possible for that fruit to exist, it really, I think, can help us with that attitude, with our gratitude and appreciation, and then considering all the different areas in our life where there are blessing, all the different areas in our life where there are provisions, there are things that are out of our control and that we benefit from. Now, obviously, there are things that are out of our control that are a detriment to our life, maybe. But if we think about these things in the scope of our lives and in the reality of us having breath in our lungs, living and being functioning human beings and being here and having a life, I can say that I am grateful for these things that I have that have been given to me that I haven't asked for, that I haven't earned. And I think, realizing the fruit, realizing the benefits, realizing the life that we have because of the word of God, because of God using his word to create life, first of all, but then also sustain this world that we are living in, holding the universe together by the word of his power. I think it gives us that gratitude and thankfulness that is possible when we recognize that. If I don't realize how much I benefit from these things, then I may not be thankful for it. It's not a big deal. Why would I thank somebody for that? It's not, but I think that, I think that that's something that is more us than more in us to kind of just downplay, especially in the West, the benefits and the blessings that we have.
Well, I just think, what you're saying, if we consider ourselves entitled to something, we're not really thankful for it, is what, I'm entitled. I'm entitled to this kind of meal, this kind of lifestyle, this kind of food. I'm entitled. But when we are thankful for it, what's the proverb say? To a hungry person, every bitter thing is sweet. Like to the fool, he's like, he gets a honeycomb and it's like there's sweetness in there, but it's like pulp and orange juice or something like that. I got this thing stuck in my teeth because, but the sweetness it's like there's the hungry person is thankful just for the whole thing. And, never mind the nutritional value of whatever honeycomb. I'm sure there is that. I'm just thinking, the thankfulness that we have is rooted in the humility that we have. I mean, God didn't owe us this at all, but he's given it to us and he's given us the word. Like you said, it's like a river. Like a river is better than a pond because a pond will get stagnant and a pond can disappear in a hot time, but a river keeps having a source, whether it's the snows melting in the mountain or whatever, but a river has a source. And God is, I think God wants us to taste things and see that they are good, whether it's the living water, whether it's the riches of the word. And if our hearts are right with him, if we're humble enough to recognize the hand that gave it to us, then there is thankfulness. I'm just thinking about this. There's a little book by William Barclay, and it's called How We Got Our Bibles. And it talks about and he opens the Bible, he said, especially when it comes to the New Testament, we know that the Old Testament was God giving testimonies, statutes. Testimonies are real world accounts of what God did. And that's David and Goliath is a testimony of what God did with a pebble and a sling in the hand of a shepherd boy. But then, a statute is this is the way you're supposed to live. And a precept is saying, it's don't eat of the tree or you're going to die. Those are precepts. When it comes to the New Testament, what books landed in the New Testament were the books that people read and they fed on and they said, this is worth preserving. This is worth eating again and again and again. And other things were not. So these things became the 27 books of the New Testament because over the course of decades, these people realized that these letters of Paul, these gospels, these stories, this revelation that John got. They did something to people when they tasted it, when they fed on it. And that's why they said, we got to eat this again and again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, that's a, I mean, a whole nother conversation. I think you opened
well, up. Well, that's what Barclay's saying. He's saying we got our Bibles because people got affected by these words sure. and they decided to preserve them.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I think that that preservation or the impact, and thinking of the word of God being something that has been preserved, something that we have so many manuscripts, for over thousands of years, you know, and the different authors, the different locations, all the different things that have come together in order for us to have a Bible that we can carry around, and you know, the even like the YouVersion app where you can have it wherever you go. You have the Bible with you. It's just something that I think it's where I'm grateful for to have that where I am. And one thing that you were saying about humility as it relates to this conversation is like an entitlement, is that this word deserve, like what do I deserve? You know, and like you're saying, when I'm entitled, I feel like I deserve a lot. I feel like I deserve this, you know, greatness, or deserve recognition, deserve respect, deserve these things. But that, that prefix for the word deserve is serve with the word, the prefix DE before, and it, it means to like not serve.
Wow. Okay.
So like we, Jesus came to serve and not to be served.
Yeah.
And to deserve something is to let others serve me, but not serve them. Mm-hmm. And I think in our world, in our life, as it comes to scripture, as it comes to being grateful, as it comes to just living our life, like my entitlement or my, do I deserve, I thinking that I deserve something from anybody, mm-hmm. you know, is the opposite mentality. Or, yeah, the opposite of what Jesus modeled and called us to do, which is to serve other people. Mm. And I think having that reference point, having that perspective as it relates to our, you know, this week, as we're talking about Thanksgiving, but then also in the way that we are reading our Bible, like I am not deserving of anything. I'm not deserving mm-hmm. Of life in general. And in that attitude of, you know, I don't deserve anything, am I able to serve and to lift up other people? And I think as if we are in the body or in this life, if we are looking for ways to serve people instead of trying to list all the things that I deserve, like maybe we can meet somebody else's need and mm-hmm. give them something they don't deserve. Mm-hmm. And I can receive something from somebody else because they are serving me. And I think that that's just the thought on this entitlement comment that we were just mentioning. And I think it's really adjusted the way that I think, you know, realizing that that those two words, DE, you know, changing that from changing the word serve to something that's the opposite of, and it being something that's so popular, or so it's an attitude that is very rampant in our society of I deserve this and I deserve that, pay me what I deserve, give me the things that I deserve. It's something that is, like I said, contrary and the opposite of what Jesus's mentality was, is that I'm not looking for people to serve me, but I'm looking for how I can serve other people. And the richness of the word of God being something that can be a source for me to be able to serve other people. I'm receiving the blessing of the word of God, the statutes, the precepts, the commandments, all those different things, the relationship, understanding who I am in the light of who Christ is, so that I can lay down my life and serve other people and have that be something that we're all doing for one another, and we're all grateful for one another and grateful for the opportunity to serve one another. And I think that that's a really beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. And it's something that, that we learn, as you, like you said, through this Psalm 119, it'd be a good meditation for you. Maybe over the next 22 days or something, you can look mm-hmm. at Psalm 119. You know, I'm talking to our audience now, but I think that would be good just to think about that. Because you said you got to that point, the wicked have waited to destroy me. But if we consider the testimony of God's faithfulness, then we will have view towards the consummation of all things, mm-hmm. of all perfection. And God has given that to us to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. His commandment is really broad. That's the finishing line there. It's exceeding broad. It covers everything that we could go through.
Yeah.
This has been the Grace Hour Show. We want to thank you for being a part of our audience today. You could subscribe. We're very thankful for every subscriber. And if you subscribe, that means that you won't miss any of the episodes. So we have other episodes coming up on being thankful this week. We want to wish you a great and holy Thanksgiving season. And we pray for you and your families that they would have a great time around the table talking about Jesus. And if you're not talking about Jesus, you should meet him. Mm-hmm. Meet him if you've never met him before. Open your Bibles to John 3 and just let Jesus talk to you about being born again. That'd be a great thing. So for Pastor Paul Androlonis, for our engineer Sebastian Palmieri, I am Pastor Steve Androlonis. Find us on YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, other places. The Grace Hour Show is there for you. Thanks, everyone. Have a great holiday and have a great week.